Chapter 5, The Storyteller. That night in the desert is what I call my return to common sense. I had been living in a story of my own creation my entire life without even noticing it. Once I had this awareness, I started to question everything in my story. Is it true that I am what I believe I am? Is what I believe about everybody else true? I reviewed the story of my life, and I didn't like all of the drama I had created. I wanted to reinvent myself. The first step was to take away from my story what I felt was not true, and to find out what was true. I discovered that what I call the frame of the dream is true because our creator creates the frame, and it's the same for everybody. Our agreements about what to call the objects in the frame are also true, because this is how we describe our virtual reality. The letter A is an A because we say so, and we agree. The word dog describes a type of animal that we agree to call a dog. Knowledge used in this way is just a tool for communication. But almost everything that is abstract is a lie, what is right or wrong, good or bad, beautiful or ugly. I discovered that most of the concepts I had stored in my mind were based on lies, especially the concepts I believed about myself. I can do this, I cannot do that, I'm this way, I'll never be that way. The problem is not really knowledge. The problem is what contaminates knowledge, and that is the lie. I could see that there's a lot of nonsense in the way we learn to write our stories. How did this happen? Before I was born, a whole society of storytellers was already here. The story was ongoing, and from their story, I learned how to create my own. The storytellers who are here before us teach us how to be human. First, they tell us what we are, a boy or a girl. Then they tell us who we are and who we should or shouldn't be. They give us a name, an identity, and they tell us the role that we are playing in their story. They tell us to be a proper woman, a strong man. They prepare us to live in the human jungle, to compete with one another, to impose our will, to fight against our own kind. As children, we witness the way other people relate to one another, and this becomes normal behavior for us. We see our parents, our older sisters and brothers in romantic relationships. We see them fight, and we can't wait to grow up and do the same thing. The mentality when we are children is, wow, that looks like fun. All of the drama we suffer in our relationships is because we witness so many lies when we are innocent, and we use these lies to form our own story. I continued to study the story of my life, and what I discovered is that everything in my story is from my point of view. Of course, it has to be that way because I'm the center of my perception. The main character who lives in my story is based on someone who really exists. That is true. But what I believe about me is not true. It's a story. The main character is just an image based on what I agree to believe about myself. I project my image to other people in society, and they modify that projection and react to me according to their stories. Then I discovered that because it's my story, I also create an image for every secondary character who lives in my story. The secondary characters are based on people who really exist, but everything I believe about them is a story of my own creation. I create the character of my mother, the character of my father, the character of each of my children, my beloved, even my dog and my cat. In my story, I interact with you. I make judgments about you based on all of the knowledge in my mind. Now I'm sure that I know you, when the truth is that I only know the story I create about you. And it took some time for me to understand that I only know the story I create about myself. For years, I thought that I knew myself, until I discovered that it was not the truth. I only knew what I believed about myself. Then I discovered that I'm not what I believe I am. And it was very interesting and also frightening when I discovered that I really don't know anybody and they don't know me either. The only thing we really know is our story. But how many times have you heard people say, "I know my children very well. They would never do something like that." Do you think that you really know your children? Do you really know anybody? Once I discovered that people are creating and living in their own story, how could I take anything personally? I know that when they talk to me, they are really talking to the secondary character in their story. And whatever people say about me is just a projection of their image of me. It has nothing to do with me. I don't waste my time taking anything personally. I focus my attention on creating my own story. Each of us has the right to create our own story, to express ourselves through our art. But still, we try to make the secondary characters in our story fit the images we create for them. We want our children to be the way we want them to be. Well, bad news, that will never happen. And when our partner doesn't fit the image we create for him or her, we feel angry or hurt. Then we try to control our partner. We have to tell our partner what to do, what not to do, what to believe, what not to believe. We even tell our partner how to dress, how to speak. We do the same thing with our children, and it becomes a war of control. Life in this physical body is very short, even if we live to be 100 years old. When I discovered this, I decided not to waste my time creating conflict, mainly with the people I love. I want to enjoy them, and I do that by loving them for who they are, not for what they believe. I don't care if your story doesn't agree with mine. I love you, and I enjoy your presence. I listen to your story. I respect your story, and I don't make it wrong. Respect is one of the greatest expressions of love. If other people try to write your story, it means they don't respect you. They don't consider you an artist who can write your own story, even though you were born to write your own story. I also respect myself, and I don't allow anybody to write my story. My story is my responsibility. I am the artist, and I respect my own art. I compare my art with other people's art, but I make my own choices, and I take responsibility for my creation. When I first had the awareness that I didn't like my story, I thought, okay, I'm the author. I'll change my story. And I tried and I failed many times because I was trying to change all of the secondary characters in my story. I thought that if I changed the secondary characters, I was changing my story, and it was not true at all. The problem is not with the secondary characters in our story. What we see in them is just a projection of what we believe, and that's a secondary problem. The main problem is with the main character of the story. If we don't like our story, there's only one way to change it, and that is by changing what we believe about ourselves. This is a big step in awareness. If we clean up the lies that we believe about ourselves, almost like magic, the lies that we believe about everybody else will change. Then the secondary characters in our story will change. But this doesn't mean that we exchange one person for another person. What changes is what we believe about them. This changes what we project onto them, and with that change, our interaction with them changes. Like a wave that ripples across the water, we change ourselves and everything else changes. Just like magic, the whole story starts changing to adapt to the new main character. This is easy to prove because the main character is changing anyway, but it's changing by itself, without your awareness. The way you perceive the world when you're 8 or 9 years old is not the same way you perceive the world at 15 or 16. You see the world differently when you're first married or when you have your first child. Your point of view changes. The way you express yourself changes. And the change can be so dramatic that it seems like two different people. If you talk about something that happened when you were a child, your father or mother will have a different story. Your father might say, "This is what happened." And you say, "No, you're wrong. This is what really happened." Who's right and who's wrong? Well, both of you are right according to your stories. You don't need to make others wrong because you already know that in their story they're right. Then being right or wrong is over. You no longer have to defend what you believe. When we reach this level of awareness, it is easier not to take what other people say personally. We know that everyone around us is a storyteller and that everyone distorts the truth. What we share with one another is just our point of view. And this is completely normal because the only thing we have is our point of view. Our point of view depends upon our programming, which is everything in our personal tree of knowledge. Our point of view also depends upon how we're feeling emotionally and physically, and it changes from one moment to the next. It changes when we're tired or angry, and it changes again when we're rested and happy. We're constantly modifying what we say, how we react. We even modify what everybody else says. We have a tendency to distort everything we perceive to make it agree with what we already believe. We fix it to make it agree with our lies. We distort the image of each of our children. We distort the image of our partner. We even distort the image of our dog or our cat. How many people take their dog to a pet psychologist because the dog has so many issues? People have come to me and said, "My dog is almost human. He's almost talking now." Do you see how we distort our story? The story is based in reality because, yes, we have an emotional connection with our dog. But it's not true that our dog almost talks or that our dog is almost human. As artists with our own style, we have the right to distort our story. That distortion is our point of view, and for us it has meaning. Even the distortion of our story is art, and it's beautiful. Humans are the storytellers of God. It is our nature to make up stories. We try to express what we perceive and share what we perceive, and this action is happening all of the time. If we experience something we like, we want to tell everybody about it. Even when we are by ourselves, we have the need to share our story, and we share it with ourselves. We see a beautiful sunset and we say, "Oh, what a beautiful sunset." Nobody's listening except us, but we talk to ourselves anyway. We also want to know other people's stories because we like to compare notes, or we can say that as artists, we like to compare our art. We see a movie, we like it, and we ask the friend who went with us, "What did you think about the movie?" Well, maybe our friend has another point of view and tells us things about the movie that we didn't see. Very soon we change our mind and say, "Well, that movie was not as good as I thought it was." We're constantly exchanging information and modifying our stories in this way. This is how the dream of humanity evolves. Our personal dream mixes with the dreams of other dreamers, and this modifies the bigger dream of society. You are dreaming the story of your life, and I can assure you that it's an art, the art of creating stories and sharing stories. Once we have the awareness to see our own story, we discover there's another way of creating the main character. Without awareness, there's nothing we can do, because the story is so powerful that the story writes itself. We create the story. We give our personal power to the story, and then the story is living our lives. But with awareness, we recover the control of our story. That is the good news. If we don't like our story, we're the authors. We can change it.